every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday.
Welcome, 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 everybody. It is I, Michael D. Ballard, the marriage pastor, and this is going to be my perspective from a biblical standpoint. I am excited, guys. As you guys can see, I got my new mic in, so I hope I'm coming across loud and clear, crystal clear. I'm excited about it, and I'm excited to bring you guys this episode. Let me get all my notes ready. And listen, I do have notes because I want to make sure that I'm covering everything that I want to cover that God put on my heart to cover with you guys today. If you don't know who I am a love, sex, and attachment expert, bringing you perspectives from the kingdom of God, from the Bible. I am here to remix your love life and to give you God's perspective on pop culture and the things that's going on in this world. So whether you're single or you're already in a relationship, doesn't matter. I'm going to give you what God is saying about love and relationships. So I'm excited. So if you come here for looking for me to bash people, that's not what I'm going to give you guys. I'm going to give you as much as I can, not just my opinion or my perspective. Let me see if you make sure I got you guys in focus. But I'm going to give you what the Bible says. If you guys love the Bible that I'm reading, it is the Marriage and Family Bible. Oh, you know how that goes. Put the link in there because there we go. The Marriage and Family Bible. This is the Bible that I teach out of. So I'm excited. It's for couples and singles and all those that's wanting a relationship with God. So let me ask you this question. Are you a modern woman or a traditional woman? Are you a modern woman or a traditional woman? Do you know the difference? What does the Bible have to say about it? See, that's what we're going to be talking about today, this modern and traditional woman. And guys, I want to give a shout out to my wife, Siobhan, who is, she's so dope. Let me just talk about my wife for a quick second, because that girl bad. I love her. She is a lot of motivation for what I teach, how I teach. You know, she's definitely the wind beneath my wings. Beautiful young lady. And she is definitely a traditional woman. Well, what I like to call a family first female, from my relationship persona effect book that you guys can go and check out, pick up now. Go to MichaelDBallard.com, scroll down to the books, and you'll see what I mean about the relationship persona effect. Basically, it is God gave me wisdom on how to categorize people in their personas when they are in relationships. And so there's six for women and six for men. My wife is the family first female. She actually, it came because I had issues with trying to understand why me and my wife wasn't necessarily clicking on a lot of areas, but God had me to write out my wife's characteristics. And then he told me to write out my characteristics. And that's when it was birthed, the relationship persona effect. So you guys may want to check that out. It's out on Amazon. So when we talk about traditional and modern women, and I'll show you guys later on in this pod, what those look like. Okay. So I talk about my wife because, you know, I spent a lot of time studying, and my wife is, she is a millennial. And she talks a lot about millennials and the Gen Zs and this term modern woman. Looking at her pods and the people that she follows, she's really put me up on game when it comes to the word modern women. or modern woman. So I began doing research on it, and it's popping up everywhere. If you haven't been living under a rock, you know, for those that are not in the millennials or Gen Zs, you would know, you know, I'm 40, you know, I'm in my 40s. So I'm in a different generation. And so they really are big on this modern woman term. So as I begin to do my research on it, I wanted to find, okay, what's going on with it? Because my wife is a really big advocate on being being feminine and rooting for the traditional woman, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like from a biblical standpoint. So this modern woman, and we was watching this show last night, and she talks about, shout out to the Crimson Cure, who is somebody that my wife likes to listen to and follows, who talked about lioness and hyenas and the sisterhood, right? And these are terms that I'm learning, because again, you know, I like to stick more towards the Bible and human development and mental health, but these pop culture terms, it's popping up everywhere. So I'm not as expert in it as my wife is, but you know, my wife, she doesn't really do pods. So I wanted to give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Siobhan. Go check her out, guys. So on my journey of understanding what this term modern woman means, because I definitely understand what a traditional woman is, but the modern woman. So there's different definitions. So I want to break this thing down today about from a definition standpoint. Again, I'm going to read my notes here so I don't miss anything. That's defined modern woman. Okay. Well, first, let's define a traditional woman. So a traditional woman in a pop culture sense often aligns with the classic ideas of femininity and womanhood, and they seek to have a nuclear family. So basically, this is someone who adheres to being traditional. They don't want the nuclear family, which is, you know, a husband, the wife, maybe two kids, the dog, the white picket fence, you know, that traditional value that we come to realize in our Western culture. Again, a traditional woman, she's portrayed as someone who might prioritize family life, embraces more conventional roles, and often adheres to established societal norms. She's also a nurturing figure, a guardian of family value. So the traditional woman is very traditional, very feminine, very soft. You know, these are terms that we're hearing in today's culture, very soft. But from a biblical standpoint, I want you guys to think of the Proverbs 31 woman, right? She's a figure of virtue, of diligence and family devotion. So in essence, we've had the traditional woman who embodies the Proverbs 31 woman as a traditional. However, again, I want what I do to not to bash anybody, because at the end of the day, we are all sinned and we all come short of the glory of God. You know, whether you're traditional, whether you identify as modern or somewhere in between, at the end of the day, we all need Jesus. We all need salvation. And we all have to make sure that our lives line up with the Bible. And understand this, nothing is all good and nothing is all bad. And so we're going to talk a little bit again about how each one of those have some attributes that God can use, and how either one of them can still have some toxic traits within them because of our sinful nature. So one of the reasons why I believe, doing my research, we talk about traditional women, and there's really a big push where you have one side of people who come against traditional women because they feel like it's an old way of thinking, that you lose your identity, that you lose your sense of intuitiveness and your drive to go out and work for yourself and build something for yourself. And that's not what being a traditional woman is at all. And I believe we have to be careful because the world gives us definition and terminology that doesn't always line up with the Bible. And we can put our humanistic ideology on these terms and we can make it something that it's not meant to be. So we have to be careful when we label that what we think a traditional woman is, right? Because even when you read and you understand Proverbs 31, the woman, you can really understand that the Proverbs 31 was, in my opinion, traditional, but also modern, right? When you look at the characteristics of both, she wasn't just a homemaker. She was a businesswoman. And I believe, and this is just coming to me as I'm speaking through the Spirit of God, I believe you can be the best of both worlds. You can be a traditional woman and a modern woman combined. I think that you could be the best of both worlds, depending on what it is that God has you to do in your life. And I think we're going to break down the Proverbs 31 woman. As a matter of fact, let's go to it right now. And this wasn't even in my notes, but I feel like God is saying, let's go to Proverbs 31. Okay, let's go to the Bible. We're going to go to Proverbs 31, you know, because, and if y'all looking for that, that's in the Old Testament. Okay, for my people that's new to the Word of God. Go to Proverbs 31. Now, I want you to, we're going to start, because the Proverbs 31, and I write about this in one of my other books, the Modern Jezebels, when we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman. But let's go to where it starts. It starts in Proverbs 31. We're going to go to verse 10. Verse 10, when it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits amongst the elders in the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her her fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Listen, guys, that was powerful. And this was not even in my notes for today, but I feel like God wanted me to go to that verse, because if you really read this and understand, this is the combination of a modern and a traditional woman in its purest context, not in the definitions of what we have done, not in the sinful human works of the flesh that we have added to what being a traditional woman is and what being a modern woman is. Because like I said, when you add sin to the mix, you can mess up being a traditional woman. You can mess up being a modern woman. I think you can go to massive extremes on both. But if you read the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, and that's what we're going to call it. Oh, glory to God. Strive to be a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife, this Bible says, not a woman. Because the Bible specifically, and I hear the Holy Spirit talking right now. He said a virtuous wife, not a woman. Because a virtuous wife has a very distinctive honor. Because some of these women are doing this and they're not wives. They're not actually married. The Bible says her husband, not her baby daddy, not her sabu, not her situationships, her husband. So the new goal is not to be a modern woman or not to be a traditional woman, but to be a virtuous wife. That's the goal that God is saying he wants you guys to strive for. And I'm telling you guys, that just came out of my spirit. That wasn't even in what I wanted to say. So that's the Holy Spirit right now speaking to you through me, is that we need to end trying to be a virtuous woman and a traditional woman. God says, I want them to be virtuous wives, which is a combination of something that's more traditional and something that is industrious, right? Industrious. We're talking about modern, but industrious. That's the goal, right? And listen, I can stop the pod right there because that just came to me. That's what God is saying he wants to happen in this hour. So let's get away with being traditional or modern, and let's go with virtuous, a virtuous wife. So let me go ahead. But for the sake of finishing the pod, because God just gave me that, I want to talk about what these terms are. And we're going to look at some things that the extremes on both ends, the extremes on both ends. Okay, we're going to cover that in today's pod. So that's a traditional woman. That's a traditional woman. But again, we said God is saying be a virtuous wife. A virtuous wife is the goal. So if you have any, if you come here and you're listening to this, understand, no more modern, no more traditional. For those that are called and those that belong to him, he wants you to be a virtuous wife. That's going to be your new terminology that you're going to start using, that I'm going to start using, that I'm going to start pushing, is we're looking for virtuous wives. Okay. But again, let's finish. Now let's go to the word modern, the modern woman. And I want to define this in pop culture. And I believe I went to Urban Dictionary to get these terms of what a modern woman is. So here we go. A modern woman can be defined as a woman of contemporary times, who usually has high mate requirements, career oriented, and semi-promiscuous. The term modern woman is usually used to describe women who live in Western societies like America, Scandinavia, UK, Australia, etc. That's the urban definition of what a modern woman is. Now, when you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, starting in verse 10, you can see how that goes to the other side of what it is that God is saying that he is requiring for people and women of this day. Here's another definition of modern woman. It says, can be very often put in the text and has many uses, both professional and sexual. The modern woman is someone who has a job, not entry level, high level job, has done very well for herself and maintains or does not maintain a family. In the 1950s, when the term first came to use, it was also a sexual saying. A modern woman can have as many romantic interests as she sees fit. The modern woman pursues affairs and is equal to the man when it comes to sexual partners, marking the end of the nice guy era in which women were only supposed to have one sexual partner as opposed to men who could pursue the interests of a sexual nature. Again, here's some bullet points of the modern woman. by cultural standards. She's often career oriented, fiercely independent. She's also an advocate for gender equality and social change. Now, as my study and listening to, you know, my wife as my confidant, she talked about how really feminism is just another, is the umbrella of what modern women are, meaning that feminism in today's society, even though it wasn't meant to be that way, was supposed to stand for equal rights amongst women, has changed it to something else, has morphed into something demonic, I believe, that is also controlled by what I call the Jezebel spirit. Again, you can read that in the book that I wrote called Modern Jezebels. Again, go to my link, michaeldballard.com, and you can check that out. Modern Jezebels. But that's the spirit that's really over the feminist spirit. It is a spirit that is created to add diversity against men. It is a spirit that seeks to either control men, destroy men, or belittle men, right? Steal, kill, destroy. And that spirit is not from God. That spirit comes from the devil. It is a spirit of division. It is a spirit that seeks to destroy what God has put as a leadership of women. Because remember, everything at the end of the day is about destroying the image of God. Genesis 1:26. It's about destroying the image of God and how he set up marriage, which marriage is a direct reflection of Christ's relationship with us. So if you destroy marriage, it also inadvertently destroys the image that Christ has with us. So when you say you're a lover of God and you're a lover of Christ and you seek marriage, understand that your marriage is supposed to mirror Christ's love that he has for the church, for you and me. For us, we are the church, not the building. So everything that's coming to feminism, all of this, any attack that comes against marriage is a direct attack against your identity in Christ. That is the bottom line. I don't care how we try to sugarcoat it. I don't care how we try to put different names and words to it. That's really what it is. Your marriage being attacked, love being attacked. Because also, let me say this. Marriage is a product of heaven. It is God's product. And if you are using his product and you don't understand what it's for, you're doing it wrong. If you're not doing this God's way, you're doing it wrong. 100%. There was marriage before it was legalized, before the government took it over. Marriage came from God. It came from heaven and it started in the Garden of Eden. And it has six specific purposes. And I'll cover that another time. But it has six specific purposes that came from heaven. And if you're not doing it God's way, you're wrong. So all of this feminism and modern woman and all of this, these sexual partners, and whether you're a man or a woman, if you're not doing it God's way, it is coming against the direct attack on the image of God and his love for us. Okay? I just wanted to put that out. And so when we talk about this modern woman, what my teaching, what I'm learning is just, it's a part of the feminist movement. And it is just basically giving women or making them feel like they have a right to live a life that is not under leadership. Mm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is giving women, making women feel like they are empowered to live a life that is not under leadership. Because when you are married, your husband becomes your leadership. And so when you come under the ban of I'm a modern woman, what you're really saying is I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, when I want to do it, and nobody can tell me anything. And if you are a believer, and if you want to be a believer, now if you're not a believer and you don't want to be a believer, then you're going to live your life the way you want to live it, period. But if you are a believer and you seek to be a believer, a child of God, understand everything has order. Everything has order. Even heaven has order. Even the way God has set up the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, everything has an order. Because if something is not in order, it's in disorder. And God is a God of order. So when you operate under this modern woman spirit, this Jezebel spirit, understand the key root of that is being someone who cannot operate under leadership. Because I'm not going to say because control is something different. God is not seeking to control anyone. He is not seeking for husbands to control anyone. He is seeking for us to be leader and have leadership. I work in corporate America. I work in supervisory and management roles. And I know what it's like to be a leader. And I know what it's like to be a dictator. And so the enemy uses that dictatorship that he's displaying some toxic men. And they do this. They point out and say, see women. That's why we need to be feminists. And that's why that's where feminists comes from. That's where modern women come from. We're tired of being oppressed, and we're tired of men, this matriarchy and women being oppressed and depressed. So he uses those. But God, I hear you, Holy Spirit, but he says what you need to do is look at Jesus. Stop looking at men and look at Jesus as the ultimate person who teaches about being a husband, who teaches what a husband is supposed to be. If your husband, if your man is not operating under that, understand that he is a fleshly being and he has fallen. All has fallen short and come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why you have to look at Jesus Christ as the ultimate husband. The Bible says, submit to one another as you submit unto Christ, which means Christ is the first person that we are supposed to be submitting to. So when you submit to your husband or you submit to your wife, because the submission goes both ways, fellas, it's not just women. It's you all submit to each other as you submit to Christ, which means Christ is your ultimate person that you submit to, and everybody else falls second, and realize everybody else will fall short. So that's what this modern movement is, this feminist movement is. It's just being a woman that operates outside of leadership. That's all it is. All right, so let's go deep into some more of the study. And I got some more notes here. And I'm telling you guys, I hope this is good to you because I didn't know what it is that I was going to say. I was working on something else and the Holy Spirit was like, I need you to do it now. I need you to record now. Glory to God. Glory to God. And make sure y'all subscribe to my channel. Share this video, right? Because I'm going to have more like this. I want to give you perspective from God, because our opinion means absolutely nothing. Our opinion cannot get you into heaven. And my opinion, well, it can send you to hell if you listen. But I don't have a hell or heaven to put you in. So I don't want to give you just my opinion. I want to give you what God is saying. I want to be careful to give you what the Holy Spirit is saying, because that's what we need in today's day. We need Holy Spirit. We don't need another influencer. I want to be influential. No, let me say that again. Oh, I want the Holy Spirit to be influential through me, because I'm going to say things that are wrong and I'm going to mess up. I still need them just like you need them. Yeah, I'm a pastor. Yeah, I'm an American pastor. But understand, I am nothing without the Holy Spirit. I am nothing without God. And this book here is what I want to give you. It's what I want to read from. It's what I want to teach you. And I want to hear from him so I can give you something in today's world where there's so much noise, so much confusion, so many passionate opinions that are wrong. Some of them are in good intention. A lot of them are not. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to you, whether you're a believer or you are somebody who just happened to come upon my channel and you are looking for answers. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I'm not a perfect man. I'm a man constantly being perfected. Glory to God. So I want to give you some information. I want to read you some stats because, again, like I say, I want to share with you some of the things that's going on in this world. I want to talk to you guys about, show you a clip that my wife sent me, and I want you guys' opinion on it, okay? So let me bring this to the stage now.
In the West, then.
Well, that one study we referenced that said by 2030 or something, 50% of women will be without a man. So that's the direction we're heading, because two part of the problem. The men that are looking for those traditional values are starting to go overseas. And then two, the other half of the men are just checking out completely. They don't want to deal with women at all. So this is going to be a big issue that women are going to deal with in the future as their options dwindle.
I'm going to play that again.
What do you suggest the women in the West do if, you know, everyone's advice is for men in the West to look elsewhere for a wife? What happens to all the women in the West then?
Well, that one study we referenced that said by 2030 or something, 50% of women will be without a man. So that's the direction we're heading, because two part of the problem. The men that are looking for those traditional values are starting to go overseas. And then two, the other half of the men are just checking out completely. They don't want to deal with women at all. So this is going to be a big issue that women are going to deal with in the future as their options dwindle.
Wow. Okay, so my wife sent me that clip. Shouts out again to my baby, Siobhan. Love you, girl. Where she was saying, this is a podcast. I'm not sure the name of that podcast. If you can check it out, check it out. But basically, he was giving some stats about this modern woman phenomenon and how it is causing such a rift that a lot more women are not being married or not going toward being married, right? So I did some research myself about this matter. And let me pull up some stats, guys. I don't want this to be about me. Look at this stat. A projection made by Morgan Stanley, they predict that by 2030, approximately about 45% of women in the prime working age group of 25 to 44 in the United States will be single. Whoa. What do you guys think about that? In my comments, give me some stats about that. Now, God told me, because I don't want to be someone that brings division about, you know, that's why women are single. God told me, and because I'm not here to agitate what's already in the world, this division amongst genders. But if 45% of women are single, then that means that there's a large group of men that are single as well. So this is not Michael beating up women. All right. This was a stat. And what's crazy was I was going to try to lean more toward that. But the Holy Spirit was like, no, Michael, you're not here to continue to keep that division between women and men going. I want you to speak truth and realize that all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. This is not me picking sides. This is about me bringing you what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay, so, but that's a stat about women being single. But again, like I said, that means men are going to be single as well. Now, this pod is going to be directed toward those who want to hold on to this modern day thought process. I'm here to expose demonic thought processes. Let me be clear. I am not here to pick on people. I am not here. That's my goal. If I come across that way, y'all remind me, Michael, you say you're not here to pick on people. I want to pick on thought processes, because God says, I love the, hate the sin, but love the sinners, right? Because he says, it is not my will that any man should perish, right? He wants everyone to receive his free gift of salvation. He wants everyone to come back home to him. So I'm not here to bash on people, and I'm going to try my best not to do that on this pod, because I want to keep it open door for those who may have been taught this way, raised up in this thought process. And I'm not coming against you, because God is saying it's not correct. Get it together, and he will help you get it together. Okay. So when in the context of this particular pod, we're talking about these women who have holding on to this thought process of being a modern woman. Again, that is not from God. He wants us to be virtual. He wants you to be virtuous. Why? He don't even want you to be traditional, because traditions change. That's why he doesn't want you to even hold on to traditions, because traditions change. Traditions can keep you in a box. Oh, glory to God, Heavenly Father. That's why he told me to read Proverbs 31, because that woman was outside of the box. That woman was outside of tradition. Even in those days, women were not allowed to be wealthy and work and to be business women. So God's saying, I don't want you to be traditional either, because traditional keeps you in a box. I want you to be a virtuous woman. If I want you to do this, you want, if I tell you to go left, go left. If I tell you to go right, because I want to be able to control your narrative, not the world, not society, not pop culture, not even you. Be a virtuous wife. Listen to me, and I will direct your footprints. I will direct your ways. Oh, glory to God. I hope y'all getting something, because God is just really, I just feel the power of the Holy Spirit. I really do. Right? God is directing this pod today. This is so amazing. This is so dope. Like, I'm being blessed, and I hope you're being blessed. If you are, make sure you give me a comment that you've been blessed. Say, hey, the marriage pastor, I am being blessed. I feel God in this pod. I feel God talking to me. I'm going to give up my modern day thought processes. I'm going to give up my traditional thought process, because God is saying tradition will keep you stuck and not moving to what God is calling you to, because you just feel like, all I want to do is sit home and have babies. God says, no, you can have children, but I want you to also run an empire. Read Proverbs 31. Start at verse 10 to 31, and look at that woman and tell me, was she traditional or was she modern? No, she was a virtuous wife. Glory to God. Now, let's get back to these projections, right? Because they talked about that. So if 45% of women are going to be single, and which also means men, what is this doing? Again, guys, always remember, this is going against the Genesis 1:26. I would say Genesis 1:26 to 1:28. You can read those key scriptures. It is the key scripture for your identity. It is the key scripture for the purposes of marriages. Okay. He's coming against that and dividing us. And so we're in this era where people don't want to be married anymore. People don't want to be in relationships that are virtuous, right? We want to sleep with who we want to sleep with. We want to get pregnant and get abortions without any consequences. Listen, oh, God is telling me, I want me to say, his heart is broken with the abortion rate. Let me see what it is. Hold on. Hey, Siri. Mm-hmm. What's the current abortion rate?
Here's what I found.
I want to look this up, guys, while we're talking. Shout out to Tim Ross, because I see him on his pod. He's so natural and so real with it. He uses phone. Shouts out to Tim Ross. He's somebody I follow and I look up to. Okay, hold on. Let's look at the abortion rate. Let's see what the data says. Sometimes it'd be hard to find. Hold on. This is what I want to look at. Hold on, guys. Let me pull this up. Sometimes it'd be so hard to find this paperwork. Let's see. It's a crazy number, and I wanted to get it to you guys, because it's like 50-something million people. I just wanted to pull this up. I didn't even know I was going to pull this up. The charts are crazy, right? But I don't want the charts. Let's see. How many babies are aborted each year? And I know it's a hard word. We don't like using terms, but we need to use these terms. Wow, these numbers are crazy. It was a crazy number, and it's not coming up. Oh, here it is. Oh, my God. This was March 23, 2020. It says 63 million abortions per year. That was in 2022. I'm sorry, 73 million abortions per year. This is under GuntMercherInstitute.org. Now, this was in 2022, was the last state that I had pulled up. 73 abortions per year. 73 abortions per year. God is saying that's 73 million lives of my spirit, of my image, that you are killing. You've killed my image over at least 73 million times. Imagine killing God 73 million times. Now, I know you may say, well, Pastor Michael, you don't know what happened. You don't know what caused it. Listen, I know people are taken advantage of. There's rape. There's incest. There's some things that happen that are unfortunate, but it is not over 73 million. It's not. And you may not have controlled how that life entered into this world, but it's God's image in there. He said he is heartbroken. How many times y'all killed him? Listen. I was not going to say that. That was not my message, but I'm letting the Holy Spirit use me on today. And I am not here to convict you, young lady, who had made that choice. I'm not here to downplay you or make you feel bad. I'm just here to bring a perspective that that's his image that we have killed. And he is crying out. He wants someone to speak on his behalf. I'll speak. We've killed his image over 73 million times. Whew. All right, guys, that just touched me. Now, again, as we talk about modern and traditional, we saw that clip that talked about, you know, they were saying, you know, I have both, you know, all these women that are going to be single, understanding that I wanted to show you that because I wanted to show you how there's an attack on marriage and relationships. Now, let me say this. Being single is not a sin. Being single is not mean that you are less than. And I am not telling you to go run out and get into a relationship. That's not what I'm saying. Some people actually need to be single. Some people are not mature enough to be married. Most people are just getting married because they just want to have a legal reason to have sex and not feel condemnation. A lot of people in the church just getting married so that they can have sex without feeling condemnation. Paul talked about it. So you don't burn with lust and have all these multiple sexual partners, it's better for you to get married. That's not the main reason for you to get married. And if you're getting married with that thought process, I don't want to burn in hell and I don't want to upset God. Well, that's not really the reason why you should be get married anyway. And truth be told, most times when you get married so that you can have sex legally, most times people end up having less sex that they marry for that reason. Yeah, you end up having less sex for getting married so that you can have sex. The devil, that's how the devil works. He pump you up in the beginning and then take it from you in the end. You're getting all horny, hot and bothered, you get married. And it's crazy how you have more sex when you're not married than you do when you are married. Isn't that crazy how that works? Why do you think that is? Why do you think the enemy does that? To bring more division, conflict in your marriage. All right. I want to show you this other video because I thought it was a very interesting video that I want you guys to see. Okay. And we talk about, again, remember I told you that this whole modern day movement was really just another ploy for you to live and do what you want to do without being under leadership. And we have shifted it from the men that was living AWOL to now we're having more women that's doing this. Check this clip out. Tell me what y'all think.
I feel if how would y'all feel if y'all flew a dude out,
wow,
spent $2,300 for his plane ticket, and he don't even want to
Like, listen, I didn't come here to have sex
with you. Look at this.
I appreciate you flying me out, but listen, I don't just have sex with people on the first day.
Okay, but it's been a few hours. Like, we didn't watch movies, we Netflix and chill.
Vibe out, get to know each other more.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to vibe out. Like,
come on, man.
Who just want to sit and with a dude?
Like, Nick, I'm trying to get lifted. Freaking plane, bro. Are you serious? Like, you really tripping?
I didn't spend my money for nothing.
I'm saying, like, why are you trying to, like, come at me because I don't want to have sex with you?
Because, like, what's your problem? Like, is it little?
I don't want to have sex with you. What you mean is little? Like, no. Listen.
Are you ashamed? Like, it's okay. Like, I don't mind. I didn't have little.
Wow, that's what I'm saying. Your ass tripping, bro. Like, don't do that to me. Seriously.
That's weird.
Don't do that to me. Like, don't. For real, I ain't have to come out here. I thought we was going to get to know each other. Maybe go on a nice little date, but you tripping about sex. That's wild to me.
Go on a date.
That's all you thinking about, man. You maybe wish I
I need to know what that's like before I even go on a date. Like,
wow, listen, how about this? How about I get your money back?
I'm not finna play with you. Like, you want me to go on a date, spend all this, waste my time, and I get up in here and you're probably little.
How about I get your money back? Because I'm not finna go back and forth about
get my money back. Why didn't you just pay for your ticket then?
Back because I thought you said you wanted to fly me out. All right?
And I did.
All right, so how about this? I'm going to cash up your money back, all right? And you do that somebody else,
because
you're not
finna make
me.
Hmm. Listen, now, I apologize. I meant to tell you guys, those that are believers, that some of these videos will be colorful language, right? Because I try to keep it real. And just also, just a disclaimer, I can't always verify if people are doing this, if they're real, if these are staged videos. I'm not sure. Sometimes these videos be staged. I don't believe that one is staged. You know, I don't. I just don't. But whether it is or not, it's the mindset that I want to come across. I don't want to come across that young lady, you know, at all. Young lady, understand that God has something for you. You may have been taught, trained, and you know, influenced to live that way. But that's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for any young lady, right? And we could break that video down on so many levels because, you know, that young man, you know, he still has his part in it, right? You know, but I do commend him for standing up for his own morals and his values, that he didn't want to have sex. And that, let me tell you that not every man wants to have sex with you like that. Not every man do. Not every man wants to have sex with you like that. Understand that. That's a myth. And we are seeing, especially with the Gen Zs and some of them, even the millennials, the newer millennials that are younger, they're more aggressive. I've been finding out in the areas of sexuality, being more bold, being more promiscuous. Remember when we talked about that definition of what a modern woman, part of that pop culture, they're more promiscuous, right? They don't hold to traditional values. You know, they have more masculine energy, right? They just want to have sex without any commitment. So that's what we were seeing in that video, that there's a big rise in that type of thought process amongst a lot of these Gen Zs and some of these millennials, right? As a whole, of course, we have them in all categories, right? But in general. So let me talk to you guys about that. And this is a good segue because Holy Spirit is telling me, I want to talk to the good guy era. When we talked about the end of the good guy era, there is some good guys out there. When I say good, I mean men who are trying their best to adhere to standards, being a good guy, you know, traditional standards as a man. And when we talked about that statistic of how more and more women are single and more men are single, I'm seeing it firsthand that there's a huge divide in relationships where people are not getting into relationships anymore. A lot of it is because of this modern day spirit, this modern day trend that a lot of women are heeding to. So if you're a young lady and you're listening to this and you that thought process, let me give you some facts and some statistics on how men operate and why there's such a divide in women being single, men being in singles in this culture. That's a direct impact on this modern day thought process. Okay. Let's go through some of the stats. Because I'm talking to the women who hold on to this thought process, this theology that you want to be a modern woman and how it is impacting dating life. Okay, here's number one. When you operate in that modern day thought process, and why we have more singles, it changes the social dynamics. With the evolution of gender roles, both men and women are navigating new expectations and norms in relationship status. What does that mean? What does that mean? See, when you're changing the social dynamics, there is a reason why God created us male and female. Male and female, he created them. We are different expressions of God, put in different bodies for different functions. We operate and we function differently, meant to not be divided, but to be collaboratory when we come together. And so when you have a woman who is operating outside of leadership, where she wants to be in control and she wants to be the alpha, the aggressor, that social dynamic throws men off. They don't really know how to function outside of that. The good guy. They don't know how to function outside of that thought process. So the expectations and the norms that we have adapted in our thinking, in our culture, we don't know what place we sit in your life anymore as a man. We don't. We don't know what we bring to the table. And so we don't come to the table. See, when you have this empowerment and independence as a modern woman, you become more empowered. Those traditional dynamics shift. And we just don't know how to adapt to them, to you being more assertive as a woman. And I'm not saying you can't assert yourself, because there's going to be some moments where you have to assert yourself. But when you operate like that all the time, because remember, masculine and feminine energy both reside in both the male and female bodies. But men lead in masculinity and have moments of femininity, and women lead in femininity and have moments of masculinity, because there's going to be times when you're going to have to exert your masculinity. But when you're operating in that, and when you're sitting in that all the time, we don't need two men in a relationship. Just like we don't need two women in a relationship. And so science show that when women are in more roles that have them to exert more masculine energy, their testosterone levels rises. It's research. For example, if you are a woman and you do powerlifting, that increases your testosterone. And when it increases your testosterone, you tend to take on more masculine attributes. So when you have a woman that's in power, which increases her testosterone, because there's testosterone in women just like there's estrogen in men. So when you are in fields and when you're doing things that increases that testosterone, you will take on more traits that are associated with masculinity. So when you are in the empowered positions, your testosterone rises, because you don't have a balance. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit had me to read you about Proverbs 31, because that woman had a balance. She had a balance between running an industry and being a wife, which keeps her hormones balanced, which will help you in the sense of not overexerting those assertive, being assertive over your particular husband. I hope this is blessing you. I hope you're understanding the science behind how God made things work, and why when you operate in that modern day thought process, you have these women that's displaying more of these masculine or toxic masculine traits because they were not designed to operate that way. So then they're giving you their version of what they think of masculinity is, which also always goes toward just having more sex and being more promiscuous and being more aggressive in a negative way because you don't know what it's like to be a man. Let's go to the next one. Communication barriers. Men often cite difficulties in effectively communicating their feelings and intentions, which can hinder the development of a deep and meaningful connection. Men don't communicate as effectively as women. That's based on how their brains are wired. Their brains were wired for action, not communication. Does it mean that a man shouldn't learn how to communicate his feelings, but he just does that? He's just not wired as well as women are scientifically to know how to communicate his thoughts in verbal words. He normally know how to operate in physical words. That's one of the reasons why men are more prone to have violent outbursts instead of talking out their feelings, because we know how to physically do things. Or men just will just shut down and just stop talking because they don't know how. They don't have that emotional intelligence that has been developed as well as women. I always say what men can do in strength, women can do in words. So a woman's weapon is her words. A man's weapon is his strength. How he's designed. So because of that, when you operate in that modern day thought process, the modern because you are, your focus is so much on equality, it's a departure from those traditional expectation that some men are accustomed to. So it alters those expectations even within communication. Here's another one, the work-life balance. The pressure to succeed professionally can often take precedence over personal life, leaving less time and energy for pursuing remote romantic relationships. Men, when a woman is constantly chasing the bag, I hear that term all the time. We'll go get that bag. A woman go get that bag. Let me tell you something. If you're going to get that bag and he's going to get that bag, then you don't have enough time to pursue love. And I'm not saying you shouldn't work, and I'm not saying you shouldn't pursue your dreams. I'm not saying that, as we saw in the Proverbs 31 woman. But I am saying that when your focus is the bag, then you're not going to have time for the love. You're not going to have time for the love. And because of that work life, that work-life issue that you're having with most women, men find it challenging to connect with partners who have limited time due to professional commitments. This is a big issue, again, for those modern day women who may be single and they're trying to figure out why I'm not connecting, why I'm having a hard time finding that right man. Understand that thought process. Again, I'm not saying you have to just stop working and give up your career. I'm saying you need to understand. For example, thank you, Holy Spirit. I counseled a woman once. She was single and she was talking about how she wanted to get married. So I said, okay, so tell me about your life. This woman was like, she worked a full-time job. She had a nonprofit. She also sat on the board of directors and she volunteered and she did yoga. I said, where are you going to have time to have a man? She said, well, if I get with somebody, he'll just have to fit into my schedule. She's still single. I said, you need to be a wife before the ring, which means you need to already operate in that time frame because God is like, you don't have time. See, understand, marriage is not for everybody. Everybody is not called to be married. So if God is calling you to be married, understand that a part of that calling is giving that other person time. You're going to have to make time to build that relationship.
Plain and simple. Here's another issue. Online dating challenges. While technology has made it easier to meet new people, it also brings challenges like the paradox of choice due to the superficial nature of selecting partners. So what this means is paradox of choice. Paradox of choice is when you have more options than you normally should have, which makes it harder for you to choose. So it's like going into a restaurant. Like, I'm learning about restaurants. Like, the best restaurants have only a few things on the menu. Why do they do that? Is it makes it easier for you to make your choice, and you become more satisfied with your choice with the less options that you have. But when you go on a menu, when you go to a restaurant and that menu looks like the Bible with a table of contents, it's so many things to choose from. First of all, it makes it hard for you to pick. So that means it takes you longer to choose what it is that you want. And when you do get it, you're not as satisfied because you'll think, well, man, maybe I should have had this. Maybe this would have been better. Or maybe I should have ate that. That's the same thought process that happens in our relationships. When you have more people to choose from and more options, it makes it harder for you to pick people. And so that's an issue that we are experiencing in dating culture, in this modern day thought process, this modern day process for us to just sleep and be with more people. Because of that, there's a shift in the dating culture. See, modern women's embrace of online and app-based dating challenges changes the dating landscape. Men might struggle with the often appearance-based selection process. I was looking at me and my wife was looking at a show last night, and the young lady, you know, them shows, the reality shows. And she was talking, you know, to the camera, and there was a guy there. He was, you know, was a good looking guy, and she was a good looking woman. And all she kept saying was, we're two good looking people. We're the best two good looking people in this group. So obviously we're going to choose each other. And we just look so good. And I just like looking. We just like looking at each other. So superficial. Everything about her was superficial. See, there's something that I call the perceived value. So there's a perceived value that people have when you see someone that's good looking. We perceive them to have value because they look good. But we never understand or ever even develop. A lot of times those people never really even develop a personality, because they put their personality based on how they look. So they perceive their value based on their looks. That's why most times they say good looking people are shallow, because they never had to develop their personality because they look good. And so when you base your life on looking good and not developing who you are, most times they don't even know who they are, because they put all their attention on their physical instead of their internal and their spiritual. So they have a perceived value that they are good because they look a certain way. That's what's happening with the dating environment. So you have paradox of choice with all of these different options, and you have the vanity of how people look. That, because of that modern day thought process, that is widening that gap on singles, and why so many women and men are single and they are not coming together in relationships anymore. Here's another one. The rejection of traditional roles. As modern women often reject traditional roles like homemaking or caretaking, men who expect traditional dynamics might find it difficult to find compatible partners. There are good guys that want a traditional woman. Now, I know we said we're going for virtuous wives, but we're gonna get men to understand that that's what they should be seeking, because again, you can have the best of both worlds. You can have a woman who has traditional values, but who's also industrious. Now, every woman doesn't matter. And again, we're going to talk about that. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull that up next. I'm going to pull up that next about the personas That's what God is telling me. That's what God is telling me to do right now. Again, I wasn't even planning on, this wasn't even prepared, but I feel in my spirit, because we're talking about these traditional and modern day terminologies and roles. Let me give you something God gave me really quick. Let me give you what God has given me real quick. Glory to God. Let's see if I can rock it. Because I wasn't expecting this, y'all. I wasn't. So I wasn't preparing for it. But I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to this. To show you guys something that he gave me. And again, I'm going to pull up so you guys can find it. Go get the book. Take a look at that. Read more about it. What God is saying. The website where you can get this from. Because we need to. Let's see. Can I just do it like this? I'm old school. Okay, we're gonna do it like this. So you guys can see the women personas. We break it down. All right, we're gonna get this. All right. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. Like I said, I wasn't preparing to do this, but I feel like God is having me show you guys this. Because I'm telling you, I was not planning on doing this at all. This is real time. Me operating within the Holy Spirit at the same time that this is happening. So glory to God. All glory go to God. All glory go to the Holy Spirit. And this is how I want to be when I do my pods, y'all. I want to be as organic as possible. Organic as possible. Okay, Holy Spirit, I think we just want to focus on the guys. So we're going to get rid of this. We're going to get rid of this. Again, guys, this has been a blessing to you guys. Please follow, share. Share this pod. Make sure you subscribe. I appreciate all of that. All right, I think we're good to go. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to break this down. This is what God gave me. It's called the Relationship Persona for Women. Again, the book is The Relationship Persona Effect. So here are the six personas that I've been able to break down when it came to women in relationships. Okay, here we go. We have the family first female. She's normally focused on family and traditional values. Strengths and nurturing challenges include overprotectiveness. Okay. Strengths and nurturing, but challenges include overprotectiveness. This is the family first. Then we have the independent spirit female. Values autonomy and personal goals. Independent challenges include emotional detachment. Then we have the commanding queen female. She's assertive, leadership oriented, confident. Challenges include being controlling. Now we have what's called the elegance vixen female. Emphasize appearance and social status. Charismatic. Challenges include superficiality. We have the party diva female. Love socializing and excitement. Fun loving. Challenges include avoiding routine. Then we have what's called the exotic temptress female. Interest If she's intense and passionate, emotionally expressive, challenges include possessiveness. Understand, when I talk about relationship personas for women, I'll cover the men on another pod. But what we're talking about is breaking down those different personas. Now, we may have a little bit of each of these at to some degree, but what I like to call a leading persona, what leads you, and understanding what leads you when you're in relationships, it will, some will present challenges, some will present the things that you're strong in, right? Again, there's nothing all good, nothing all bad. I talked about that, that there's different elements to who you are and how you operate within relationships, okay? And again, get the book, The Relationship Persona Effect. That book will break these down more in detail. But understanding your persona gives you a more in-depth understanding of your purpose and your assignment. This is why we talked about to not necessarily be traditional, right? And not necessarily to be modern. We said we want to go for the virtuous wife. To understanding the virtuous wife, you need to understand your persona. What is leading you? What is leading you? Let's get outside of the box. What is leading you, right? Because what is leading, and really understand that your persona may change depending on the season of your life. It may change depending on the environment that you're in. It may change. But at least one of the greatest things about what I'm learning about what fosters great relationships is having an understanding of your identity. Because before God gave us dominion, he gave us identity, which means you need to know who you are before you can have dominion in your gift, in your community, and on this earth. Who are you? Who are you? Before you get into even before you get into a relationship. And I'm not saying who are you as it pertains to what the world is telling you you are. Who are you? So these are some pop culture references to understanding the different personas that I've noticed and that I've done my research that's been popping up in the women of today. Now, each one of them presents a challenge, but each one of them also has their strengths. And I'm telling you, understanding this, understanding your persona will help you get a hold on your relationship if you seek it, if you are actually seeking intimate relationships. So as we conclude, as I said before, whether you are trying to be traditional, whether you are trying to be modern, they're not all bad, they're not all good. Oh, here's some more status. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I had wrote up. I want to break the stats down. When we talk about women and men, let's wrap it up. Okay. So traditional women, here goes some 5 points that traditional men, women normally are looking for. They're family-centric, they're supportive partners, they understand conventional roles, they have homemaking skills, they are less career-orientated. Doesn't mean that they don't have a career, just means that they don't put that as number one, okay? For the more of the modern women, aka the feminist woman, they seek more independence, they're more career-focused. They look for equality in relationships, meaning they look for more what I like to call partnerships. We on the same level. There's no leadership. I'm a leader, you're a leader. Which is crazy because if they're a CEO in the company, they know what it's like to be the leader. They know what it's like to operate and to be a leader. They know what it's like to get, consulting from their team, but ultimately they're the ones that make the decision. But when it comes to their marriages or relationships, they don't want that, which is crazy because they understand how that works. They just don't want to do it. Again, they don't want to be in a relationship under, they don't want to be in a relationship under leadership. That's what it means. They don't want to be in a relationship under leadership, or they themselves want to be the leader in that relationship. And five, they like to challenge traditional norms. That's that modern day spirit, that feminist spirit. Here's another stat I want to drop with you guys. When we talked about, and I did some research on the age group of men who are preferring more modern or traditional women. So it says men aged 20 to 30 are normally those that, normally, not always, but they are ones who will put pretty much put up with that modern day thought process. And that's the only reason, because most of those guys are not trying to settle down anyway. They want to hit it and quit it. So they don't mind that you have multiple sex partners because they're not trying to get married anyway. Right. But when you look at older men, let's say 30 to 40, 40 to 50 or over 50, all three of those are leaning more toward traditional types of women. And in that dynamic, when you have more younger women who seek older men, you can't be a younger woman and have that modern day spirit and expect for you to get married to someone in their 40s and 50s. It's not going to work. Statistically, that's not what they're looking for. So God is saying, if you, young lady, are seeking to reprogram your thinking, the Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So if you want to get married, if you're called to be married, if you believe God is calling you to be married, you're going to have to transform your mind. Those who are raised in that modern day thought process and those that are raised in that traditional thought process only. You're going to have to transform, renew your mind. Understand your purpose. Understand what God is calling us to do. That's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, The Relationship Personal Effect, because you need to first understand how God designed you. And how God designed you, you will be able to begin to operate as that virtuous wife. You're not traditional. You're not modern. You're a virtuous wife. Operating within your persona based on your design. So, God is telling me to just pray for you. Father God, I pray for that young person that's listening to this, that person that's listening to, whether they're young or old, I come against that mindset. That modern day spirit, that Jezebel spirit, that feminist spirit. Come against it right now in the name of Yahshua. Holy Ghost. Convict them. Break the chains around their thought process. Break the chains around their heart right now, Lord. Heal their wounds. Direct their path. Show them that you've called them to be virtuous wives. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I pray right now that you renew their minds, that you send them to the people that's going to help renew their minds. You send them to the mentors. You send them to the information. You send them to the resources. Challenge them. Challenge them to understand what it is and why you've called them to marriage, to fulfill your kingdom purpose. I come against the devil right now and all his demonic influences that teach women to operate outside of their calling. Loose them, Satan. take your hands off that young woman right now that's crying. Young woman, Jesus loves you. God wants you in heaven. He wants you to operate in the power and freedom that he's called you in your femininity. It is a superpower. It is not your curse. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been damaged. I know you've been led astray. But Jesus is your husband. And he wants to love on you. Submit to the leadership of Jesus. He will teach you how to submit to the leadership of your husband. And we thank you for the revelation that you have given today. I pray that this seed is watered so God can get the increase in your life. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Yahshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the marriage pastor, Michael D. Ballard. I hope that this was a blessing. Please let me know. Please give me your comments. Share this video. Subscribe to this channel. Check out the books for your growth, for your edification, but always running through the Holy Spirit. I love you with the love of Christ. Remember, your relationships, your marriages are a reflection of how Jesus Christ loves you. So if you're not doing it God's way, you're doing it the wrong way. Until next time. Peace. Every day, every day, Friday.